Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained. Hello, and welcome to CC and Doc Talk. Today we are talking about the crazy insanity that are Doc's DIY projects. There are just so many projects and so little time. And everybody keeps saying, it's so funny because every time you post them on social media, everybody keeps saying, that doesn't look like retirement. And then on the other hand,
or it doesn't look like you're taking care of yourself.
Right. You know? Yeah. People worry that you're not taking care of yourself because then you're taking care of me and then you're doing all these projects. So I think it's time to share with your fans your obsession. Let's talk about your obsession with DIY. And I'm just going to start out by saying part of it is because you're cheap.
True. Right? I am cheap. If I can do it myself, why not? Because yes, okay.
And then I'm just going to let you go from there.
Enlighten your fans. Well, I think the other part of that, I might be cheap, but I also love the challenge of it. Can I take skills that I've learned in the past or from other things and apply them to this? You know, I've never done flooring before, and at one of our places we did that LifeLock flooring, the whole thing, the whole cabin, you know, 1,200, 1,300 square feet, and it was one massive amoeba of flooring. But I've never done it before, so I had to do a little homework. So I think I love, can I do it? Can I learn a new skill? So taking other skills, applying them to something new, all that transferable knowledge, and then there's a huge sense of accomplishment that comes out of them. So not only do I love projects, but I love to finish them. But it's not so I can get the glory and, hey, look at me and what I did. I mean, that's great too. But it's just internally, it's like, yeah, cool, I did that. You know, I just did tongue and groove on a wall for the very first time, but it's not just the tongue and groove on the wall. I did a corner edge where I use the same piece of wood that wrapped around so it has the wood, same wood grain, and you know, cutting them at the 45 and getting them lined up perfectly so I don't have to use trim. It's like a masterpiece. So to me, it's art. I think that's what it is. It's a type of art, and it's my therapy.
It definitely is art for you. You definitely find ways to do things that other people wouldn't think of, and you're very innovative. And I definitely can see that it's a challenge for you. You know, it presents that challenge, that the kind of challenge that you like.
Yeah.
It also, you know, you always love to do like puzzles and figuring things out. So I think it also
sort of feeds
that side of me too.
So I'm not kind of the sit and read a book kind of person. I do, but I really love the mental agility of the puzzle or Zen, the puzzle. And in these projects to me are puzzles.
And you also like the physical aspect of it.
I do. I like that as well. And, you know, I do have my limits. You know, there are some areas that I can venture into. And then there are other areas it's like, no. You know, like electrical. I've changed a breaker in the breaker box. So I was willing to do that. But
You've run wiring and stuff before.
And I run wiring, and I can do a simple plug or an additional plug or something like that. You know, I've changed it, you know, from a two outlet to a four outlet where needed, you know, so I can do that. But like a three-way plug for lighting or three-way lighting, that's out of my league. I know that, you know, or putting it in a whole new breaker box in a garage and wiring the whole thing, no. But I did help with the electric in the garage, and I learned some new things that were really cool.
Okay.
And plumbing, you know, when I get into the plumbing, sometimes I'm scared to death. You know, it's like, okay, I'm about to cut this pipe. I got the water off, and I usually get wet. Chances are, I always get wet when I'm doing plumbing work on an existing house.
You do get wet a lot.
And I also don't start it on a Sunday morning. In case I don't have all the right parts, and then I don't want to not have water for a day or two because I didn't have everything ready.
So, in case you actually have to call a plumber.
Right, yeah, and that has happened. So, you know, timing, pacing, sequencing, right? Make sure I have what I need. I think through it all the time. Venturing into play to spaces unknown. It's like I you know, having the confidence, even if I'm really nervous about doing something, and you know, turning the water off, cut the pipe, and let it drain slowly. Sometimes I don't cut it slow enough; it drains too fast and sprays me in the face. But you know, I learn. you know, hey, next time wrap a rag around this and drip it into a bucket. Oh, yeah, see, that would have been smart.
No. And so that also suggests that you're willing to make mistakes.
I am willing to make mistakes. I am willing to...
You are a perfectionist, too, but you are willing to make mistakes. So it's kind
I'm willing to kind of figure it out as I go. It's like, okay, I have it. I think it all should work. But I was thinking of what was happening with a shower I put in, and I didn't have the right height underneath it for a drain to hook into the system. And I didn't want to cut the floorboard. So I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do that. And eventually I do. And I think I also take, I love this quote from the Einstein approach to things. It's not that I'm smarter than other people. I just stick with the problem longer.
Right.
And that's what Einstein said, is I stick with the problem longer. And so I spend a lot of time, my creative time in the mornings laying in bed, or in the evenings I sit there and it looks like I'm just staring into space, but I'm just walking through the creative piece of how this is going to work. And I draw things out. Mm-hmm. I mean, my drawings before a bathroom or a garage or whatever, I do a sketch. And then when I get to the different pieces, okay, here's the plumbing part of it. And I draw it out. So I know here's a T connector, here's a 90 degree. So when I go to get the parts, I have my drawing and my list of things I need.
Right.
So, and then other areas I just have to hire it up.
Which doesn't happen very often, but when, and I mean, really, I mean, you have accomplished so many projects here at this house, and we've only been here for a year, and we'll get to that in a minute. But before we do that, you know, most people would think if you're out doing a project by yourself, that that's kind of your introvert cave time, but we've realized it's exactly the opposite. So explain a little bit about introversion and extroversion and how this is actually an extrovert activity.
Well, introvert and extrovert is where you re-energize. How do you and introvert is from the inside out. So again, sitting with a book, quiet time,
watching a movie, playing computer games.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of that cave time. You know, mm-hmm. You get your alone time. An extrovert re-energizes from external stimuli, basically from the outside in. But what the biggest learning is, it doesn't have to be external from people. So it doesn't have to be socializing. It just has to be outside, nature, going for walks, going for hikes, just being outside. And then for me, having a project on top of that, it really energizes my soul.
Especially if it's refills. A physical project.
I love the physical activity of it. I need physical activity to re-energize. And having a job where I've been at a desk job behind a computer for so many years... And I mean, I'm just like busting to get outside and do things. And I could just go sit on the back patio and you know, occasionally have a beer or something. And that is feeding my soul. But to actually go out and be physical and do something with my hands and create or, you know, be able to see a difference.
And chop wood.
I mean, I love the physical activity of it. It feeds my soul. So basically, I'm re-energizing.
Right. Which really gives a lot of explanation. Yeah, which really gives a lot of explanation too as to why you and I have done so well in isolation, because your extrovert energy doesn't have to be people energy. And right. I think we mentioned in a previous podcast, Real Colors, you know, you're the orange, so you definitely have
more of that energy. I'm the artisan, outgoing risk taker. I am willing to cut that pipe and go, okay, let's see if I can do this, you know.
Very creative, leans extrovert. And then me, on the other hand, I'm kind of that ambivert, so I'm right in the middle, so I could take it or leave it.
Which means you're okay with me getting out of your space, so you have your own cave time.
That is sometimes true, yes. And so for those of you who have been worried about Amy doing too much while she's also been a care partner for me, or have you been worried about her because it doesn't look like she's retired, just know that this is her idea of retirement.
I'm loving it. I love not having some sort of a webinar or a Zoom meeting on a calendar, so I can just go outside and just get absorbed in it for the whole day and not have to go, oh, you know, I have something coming up, or I have a flight to catch tomorrow, so I have to get this done today and get it cleaned up and the water back on or whatever. Right now, it's just owning my agenda and having the freedom to do some of these things. And if I don't get it done over the weekend and it wraps over into Monday, oh my gosh, what a luxury is that I still have another day to do this. In fact, I just did some workout in our tiki barn, which is our pool area, our little pool house, and I put that wall up, and there's still, my tools are still laying there, and I still have a sink to finish, and a cabinet to put together, and I'm like, I'll get to it.
But that's kind of unusual for you, because you usually complete projects pretty quickly, and we'll come back to that when it comes to process, because I know you have a pet peeve about people who start projects and 20 years later haven't finished them.
But, yeah, I don't understand that.
But before we go there, list off all the projects you can think of that you have done in the years since we moved to this house?
I don't know that I can, but let me just start with the big ones. I mean, you know, besides enclosing in the garage and putting in carpet and putting in an entire indoor pool with a UV system and a heater and an HVAC and then a separate heater, a heater for the pool and then a separate heater
it
to keep the building.
It's an above ground therapy pool, and it still required a lot of
and putting a waterproof carpet across the flooring. And then I built where the garage door is, I built using pallets. A half a door so I can open the garage and kind of have like a half, it looks
half,
like a
bar. Wall or a
bar. It's a half wall.
Yeah.
And I built that out. And
that's
the purpose
to keep
of
the
that.
Critters out.
It has to keep the critters out because I'm out there sitting there and a lizard comes in or a snake comes in and I'm like, I want to have this door open without stuff crawling.
Now, tell them the real truth. The real truth is we didn't want to be in the hot tub at night and have a bear decide to come in.
Or a fox or something join
and
us, right?
Visit us.
So
yes.
Now we can sit out there in the hot tub in the garage with the door open and see the stars. So
yes.
Absolutely. I'll just keep listing other projects. Inside, you know, installing a dishwasher, to painting one of the rooms in the basement. I built a bathroom.
In 9 days.
I built a bathroom in 9 days, which it's not just building the bathroom. I had to put up walls and doors and cutouts for doors and rerun electricity and then the plumbing.
That was a big one.
And, you know, so putting up and flooring. There was a bar rail because our feet were hanging off these chairs, so we needed a rail to put our feet up on.
You reupholstered the chairs at the bar.
Reupholstered the chairs. There was a little, there's a whole roof that I had an extension off the deck because of where the water was dripping off the roof, and so I created
a little lean-to to reroute
the water.
Yeah, a new awning to channel the water.
And then the huge garage that we had built, it's about a 1,600 square foot. Is that right? 40 by 40? 45 by 40? No, 40 by 40 garage.
So you were sort of the general contractor.
And I was a general contractor on that. But then after they finished it, I had to build big retaining walls and move some rock. And
you built the labyrinth.
I built the labyrinth.
All the retaining walls that you built by the garage. You're right, like three or four of those.
Yeah, huge ones with those 70-pound bricks, retaining bricks. I'm good at it, but man, those are tough.
This whole new driveway down
there's
the back.
There's a new driveway down the back. I mean,
all of the fire mitigation.
Lots of fire mitigation happening and cutting the branches. We installed a gate at the front of the driveway. I don't know. Is that a lot?
That's a lot in a year. And you know, I will say that on social media, and if you're not following us on social media and seeing all these amazing creations that
I'm going to post the garage because I just made the final payment on it. So it's going to be a begin with the end with in mind. So here's a vision, my drawing of what I wanted the garage to be. And then I'm going to show you, I'm going to go back in time and show the progression because it was about a year ago it started.
Right.
And so anyhow.
So if you're not following us on social media, follow us at CC, the letter NDOC, CC and Doc. And you will get to see all of these amazing creations. And I must admit, I often get lumped in with the credit in these projects, but I always say, although this is all Amy, because especially this last year, I have been no help at all, pretty much.
You help, you
unless
do help.
I'm just sitting down keeping you company is my
There are things, like putting the waterproof carpet in the garage, you had to help.
Oh, well,
there
right.
are
that
certain things that it does require two people.
Yeah, that was BC. You know,
before diagnosis of cancer.
Yeah. So, and now, you know, certainly I'm hoping by fall I'll be able to participate a little bit again. However, that's not my way of re-energizing. So when you're doing a really cool project that I like, I don't mind being out there and helping some, but
you did help put the pool up
I did help put the pool up and of course I had a vested interest in that. I want to swim. And so all that being said, you do a lot of this work by yourself. Now, also, when my mom comes, she ends up being a good work buddy for you because the two of you did that awning. And I love it when the two of you all go just play and you're like, you want to come? I'm like, nope, you two just go have a good time.
I know, and she's a great helper.
She is. I know. She is. She's a little badass. So anyway, so many projects that you have completed and I'm always amazed. And you know, this is why.
And I have more to do. The list is endless, so which is a scary
thing.
Which
is funny, because I think you've
already retired. Financially, I'm more conscious of it. So like,
now you're even cheaper.
Now I'm even more cheap, absolutely. Which then sometimes creates more work for me because I got the cabinet on sale, but it was unfinished.
Scratch and dent.
Scratch and dent. And it took me so much more time to get it to presentable and usable. But anyhow, and I'm using all the scrap wood from around here versus just buying new wood. So I'm thinking about things differently. It's like, that's too expensive.
You're also becoming a hoarder in the process, but you know.
Well, you know, you have to save the
parts and pieces.
Well, yeah, wood is expensive, you know. So I do save all the pieces and all the nuts and bolts and screws and everything that I save. So absolutely.
It's true because the budget has changed. And we have done some really great projects on a lower budget. Like we called the cabin renovations the budget renovations, and they were just
fantastic.
As good as the expensive renovations we did in Denver. But
I relaminated the countertops, and then I did the router around the wood edges and restained them, and we did red in with a darker gray kitchen, and it was beautiful.
Yeah. So I mean, just to say, you know, it doesn't have to be an expensive budget. We had a higher budget in Denver. We had a lower budget with the cabin. All of it came out amazing. Yeah. And so you don't have to have a high budget. So before we wrap up, what I thought I would get you to do is to share kind of your process with anybody who might be considering venturing into the DIY space.
All right. So I will draw it out and then I'll sit with the space a long time. I'll stare at it. You know, like doing a major kitchen renovation that we did in Denver, I stood and stared at that kitchen a very long time. And then it's like, okay, you know, there's no reason you can't put a monster island here to maximize the cabinet space. And so, I mean, you know, hours or days, I'd keep going and I'd stand in a different corner, and then I draw it out. The same with the bathroom downstairs. You know, normally somebody would have just, there's some pillars down there, support beams, and they would have just crammed it into this one area, and you would have been bumping your elbows on the toilet, you know, on the back of the toilet and the vanity and the shower every time you turned around. But instead, I put the wall much further out, so it's now like a 8x10 space, but I put part of my little workshop and like the refrigerator or the freezer, the extra fridge, inside that area, but it's a bigger space.
Right.
But I stood there for a long time. And instead of putting the wall where it would have logically seemed the place to put it, I go creative and I get out of the box. And I'm like, what if we put the wall way over here? And I think through the pros and cons, and then I draw it out. And again, the bathroom we did in Denver, which was a huge tile project, but we ended up, it was a big bathroom area, but all of the stuff is naturally around the edges, the sink, the vanity, the bathtub, whatever, kind of consumes the edges. And then you have this big empty space in the middle.
Right.
But what if we go into that empty space and we turn the tub sideways and then make a bigger walk-in shower and come into this empty space a little? And there's still plenty of walking space. But thinking outside the box, well, the bathroom in the Salida cabin, it was a standard bathtub. Pulled the bathtub out because we wanted a walk-in shower. But instead of having a walk-in shower where you normally have the water spigot and all that at one end, I left the valve to turn it on and off on the one end down where the drain was. But then I routed the plumbing to have the rain head come out of the center.
Right.
And then I had a lip so the water didn't go out. And so we could enter from both sides and the rain head was in the middle. And so just thinking differently, getting creative use of space.
Right.
And so I get outside the box and I'm willing to do things differently.
You definitely get outside the box. And just off the top of my head, Denver, we did kitchen, we did bathroom, we redid all the landscaping outside. You and I built a
three-tiered
terrace out of
the
flagstone.
Oh, the flagstone.
That was
huge.
I helped with that whole project.
Burned you out with that one.
I think we moved probably 10,000 pounds of flagstone. And that one, anyway, my point
huge
is,
projects. I'm not afraid to tackle a big project
right. Either. So if somebody is thinking about getting into this space, I mean, you know, what are your thoughts and ideas? And especially, you know, women, because you've managed to sort of change a lot of people's opinion about you. Those folks at Home Depot and our small town hardware store who aren't necessarily used to
seeing. You need to know my name around here because I do my own projects and I'm going to ask.
Well, like they're not used to seeing the girls come in with the hammers and the nails. So
yeah, well, that's right. I wear my baseball cap. They think I'm a guy anyway. I think I research on YouTube. I watch other videos. I ask, I'm not afraid when I go into the hardware stores, I find some people, men and women alike, and I'm like, okay, here's what I'm going to be accomplishing. I'm new to this. share with me, or do you have an expert in this space that I can talk to? And then I just soak it in and I listen. And people love to help when I say, hey, I need your help with something. What would you do here? And then I take notes, I listen, and then I'm like, okay, let's go over to wherever it is in the hardware store where I need all this stuff. Show me where it is. Make sure I have all the parts. And I show them my drawing here, and then I show them I need 90s and T's and whatever else. And so we get all the parts. That's another thing. I make sure I have, pretty much make sure I have as many of the pieces as I know as I need before I start a project.
Well, especially where we live, because because in order to get to a Home Depot, we have to drive an hour.
Yeah, it's an hour each way. Yeah. But even in Denver, when we did the kitchen, we made sure we had the tile in stock, all the appliances in stock before we did the demolition. So Our kitchen was only down 3 weeks for a massive remodel.
Right.
Bathrooms take a little longer. But again, making sure you have the tub and all the shower heads and all that,
right,
especially with the delays going on these days. So my advice, first of all, decide, are you going to do it yourself or not? Because, having the right tools matters. And if you don't have the right tools, are you going to invest in a contractor who has the right tools, or are you just going to invest in the tools so that you have them and then you can do other projects? So,
well, and you can
also sometimes
choose.
If you don't have the tools, there's an investment, but then know your limits. I don't lay carpet because I don't have that stretcher and I don't like roll, decide where are your limits.
And you can do some of it yourself and have somebody else do other pieces of it. You don't have to do it
Absolutely.
All by yourself.
Overhead work, I don't do that. I don't like doing sheetrock overhead. Again, I have to look at where can I do things where it's just me. I would say, if it's like installing a dishwasher, give it a shot, right? But
follow the instructions.
Follow the instructions. Yeah, I do read the instructions. It took me years to be able to do that. have courage, live bold. You can always have a contractor to clean up your mess, but say, hey, I need your help. I tried it myself and I need your help. Or get a contractor in the beginning, but say, I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to be shoulder to shoulder with you. And I do that a lot. When I have any contractor around, I'm there meddling in their space and learning and watching. And so I guess, and just live bold, have courage, give it a shot. I mean, have fun and some pride in what you do, but take your time and finish the project by all means. Grandpa Herb taught me you're not done until the tools are put away. And these people that start a project and 5-10 years later, or they buy a car and it's sitting in their backyard for 20 years because they think they're going to renovate it at some point, either do something with it because you bought it because you want it, was good intention, it's hopes and dreams, right? Or get rid of that thing because it's causing anxiety in the family, not just to you, because you haven't done these things that you said you're going to do. And so either do it or get rid of it. That's an opinion there.
It's the half-started projects that families have to live with that
oh,
I
renovations
can't
that just go on and on and
I know.
On.
I'm so glad that you finished
it. Get it to a functional level and clean up, right? If I do something that has cutting sheetrock and it creates dust, I quarantine the area. Take the time.
The entire area.
I quarantine things. I tape things off. I hang plastic from the ceiling. So the prep work usually takes more than half the time of sometimes doing the work, painting and all that stuff. But do things, but be responsible for the cleanup too.
And if you were giving advice to somebody who is the helper in these situations, not the person with the ideas and the vision and the actual person who's completing the project, what advice do you give to the helpers?
Share the vision, share the expectations up front. Here's what we're going to try to accomplish, and here's what it looks, here's what I'm thinking, here's how you can help. And so share the vision and then any steps on, share what you're going to do and any steps on the how, and then just use your words. So there you have it. I love projects. Now, I also, I'm not for hire because people have expectations of how it needs to be done. And sometimes I don't want to disappoint. Because I do them for myself.
You've never disappointed us, any of us, in the projects that you do. By us, I mean, like, my mom's always impressed by what you do and your dad's always impressed by what you do. And so, I mean, you've never, but I understand what you're saying. The other thing is, if it became work, you wouldn't love it anymore.
I don't know. I haven't ventured down that path and I don't think I'm going to. So no, I don't want to turn my little hobby into a profession though.
The one thing that we always say is that if you were a handy person, a handy gal, that you would probably get all the work because you know how to show up on time, you know how to be responsible,
I'm
you know
clean,
how to follow
I'm
through,
meticulous.
You're clean, you clean
I don't
up
walk
yourself.
Into a place with muddy boots.
I know. Everybody would love to have, everybody wants an Amy anyway, but sorry, she's mine, folks. You know.
I'm not done here. So lots of work to do here. Anyway, on that note, just be courageous. Dive into it. You know, give it a shot.
Start small.
Have confidence. Start small.
Have vision. Be creative.
Yeah. Build a birdhouse, you know?
Oh, cool.
Do something that's just start small. I mean, you know, you don't have to build a house or a garage, but just figure some things out. Watch YouTube. Decide if it's something that's like, okay, I can do that, or I think I can do that.
Well, and I actually thought our project list was close to done, so the fact that she has more ideas, it'll be interesting to see what gets posted next.
Oh, I have surprises for you.
Boy, here we go. It's going to be a fun rest of the summer.
Yeah, more fire mitigation. I know that. I haven't finished that, but I have to split wood still.
That's
so
a
you're
huge
off the
job.
On a lawn.
You have 111 acres to fire mitigate. There's no way you can do it all at once. So
no, I did some critical things, but anyway, we're making progress.
Absolutely.
But and we have a garage that's finished, and we're in a very functional state right now. So when we had hail the other day, all of our vehicles weren't outside. I was
Yay!
Really happy.
Hallelujah.
All right, on that note, I keep trying to wrap up here. Okay, have a fabulous day. Dive into projects if it feeds your soul.
Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to CC and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at CC and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.